Major David Katz joining us in studio for Military Monday. Did you see that? The ex-South African bashers were proud.
Were they? Did take that?
They were surely stunned. Look, you don't know because you've been kicked off half of these groups, Major David Katz. South African Jews, Jewish South Africans, they've all booted you off, haven't they?
They booted me off for being vociferously pro-South African.
Right, and, yes. Because
South African line, and I think the last straw was our win at the World Cup. I don't think that went down very well. You know, it wasn't supposed to happen like that. That's not how the narrative was supposed to end.
Well, it's always like that. I mean, remember the World Cup, the narrative was that people were going to come to South Africa and be murdered in the streets.
Yes.
And then we had this incredibly successful World Cup. So that didn't work.
Well, yeah. I mean, this was just a victory of biblical proportions. I just think it was just incredible. There's so much power in this victory. And I think some people just couldn't handle the moment. And, that was the end of me on some of these groups, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, but you can be a little antagonistic.
But at least I ended on a high note. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. If you are going to be thrown off, the time to be thrown off is when South Africa wins the World Cup.
Certainly, and be thrown off for the right reasons. Mm. So I'm pretty happy with that. Just brilliant all around.
Right. Okay. Karen says exceptional music today, and then says, what do you call an Englishman holding a bottle of champagne after the World Cup?
The waiter.
Exactly. There have been a lot of these English, lots of these memes around. They're wonderful.
And you know, I've looked at their press and, it's not going down well there. I mean, I remember going to London at the heart of the Lions, tour of South Africa, and it didn't go down well with the English also when we beat them. So they're not the greatest winners and they're not the greatest losers.
And this is so interesting. I asked Louis Karpus the question because we were talking about them not putting the medals on. And Louis says, you know, it really is pretty standard. This is what happens. And he didn't think it was particularly poor in terms of behavior.
I've got to disagree with that.
All right.
If you take a look at the All Blacks and the way they wore those, not that I watched that game, but I saw a couple of pictures afterwards how proudly they wore those bronze medals. The English took him off immediately. They must have been
devastated. You know, to lose is one thing, but to lose so badly by 20 points in a final that everybody was predicting would be a low score final.
Absolutely,
that's crazy.
They really were pretty upset about it. But I mean, you know, stiff upper lip and all that. You've got to maintain.
Look, they
dignity
did. To be fair, times. They did us favors. They beat the All Blacks. You know, they beat Australia. I don't know if I buy that, Howard.
That they did us favors and we were gifted into the final.
I didn't say we were gifted.
I mean, those are the reason I was thrown off these
Really? Well, I'll throw you out of studio also. So now to get ready, you're going to do Military Monday today.
Gifted into the finals. No, I don't.
Nobody said gifted in the studio. Nobody said that.
The best team won. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt.
And I'll tell you something. We improved from the moment we arrived in Japan. We just improved with every game and the game plan came off. And I only started to realize halfway through this rugby tournament exactly what the South African game plan was. And there were a few things holding back that game plan was that we couldn't take the high ball. Our number 10 and number 15 just couldn't take a high ball. And that all came together in that final game. And you could see the result. I mean, a 20-point differential is a huge,
absolutely
huge
massive.
And it just speaks to Russie's organization and the captain. They insurmountable odds. They overcame just insurmountable odds to do this, to deliver. And something very interesting, Howard, is that I mean, I don't want to draw parallels like this, but I'm going to anyway, is that Cyril Ramaphosa and Russie started their jobs at more or less the same time.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible.
And Russie has delivered the impossible. And Cyril has yet to deliver the impossible. And we can learn a lot about this rugby victory from an organizational point of view, from a motivational point of view, about building a family. And the art of the possible. It's just the art of
that
the possible.
That to me is what this is about. This is the art of the possible.
In the face of huge odds,
nobody is saying that our economic situation is not dire and Moody's, haven't put us on notice.
Sure.
There's all of that stuff is there. But, this shows what can be done. And it also shows to me, more importantly than anything else, is that the person on the street in South Africa, the me and yous and the nutties and everybody else's actually adore each other. Sure. And South Africans love each other. It's as simple as that. Yes, we want the best for each other. We want the best for our country. Yep. We want the best for all of our children. And I don't care what the EFF and anybody and the Jacob Zumas of this world benefit, because they do benefit from us being divided. That's how they maintain relevance. At the end of the day, no matter what, you look at the malls and the streets and the people celebrating, this is what it is all about. South Africans, get on. We want to get on.
Look, it's been an incredible couple of weeks. I don't know if you've had a look at that group called I Am Staying.
Of course.
That's been absolutely incredible. I mean, it's just incremental growth over the weeks from 70. I joined that group on 70,000. I think they're now 870,000.
They're more than 800,000.
So you've got sentiment where people just want to come together and do something positive with this country. And you've got the rugby now coming in and really against impossible odds. I wouldn't have put any money on this 2 years ago that we would have been able to take the World Cup, especially against teams like the All Blacks and the English. So we've really, really, I think this is a great chance for us to turn the corner just on sentiment. I'm not talking about anything else, because a lot of what is happening in this country is based on sentiment. And if you can, I mean, you know, the market's also based
on
sentiment.
That's of course how it
works. So if you can turn this into a positive thing for South Africa, and surely we can turn the sentiment around and see some positive results coursing through this country. So it's very, very positive at this stage.
Yossi says, so proud of the Boka and their brotherhood, and their brotherhood is inspirational. As a realist, even if our win was only temporary, a band-aid, hoping the positive sentiment can go a small way in healing our deeper divisions, racial divisions. It's time that each and every citizen of our Rainbow Nation stand up against those so-called leaders of our Rainbow Nation causing the divisiveness. Hope we can make this victory count. And I think that's what it is. And we did see that on the weekend. We did see South Africans standing up against leaders who trade and benefit from our divide.
I think we can see what it means, what a class act is all about. We've had mediocrity in politics over the last couple of years. We've just become so.
You know,
so
if we look at Sia and we look at Rassie, they are a class act.
We're just so used to mediocre performance in this country and accepting second class and third class service and delivery, that here's a guy who comes on and delivers on his promise. How he did it needs to be analyzed. I think business people and politicians need to look at exactly how he's managed this and what he's done in a very divided country, very divided team when he took over, lacking a lot of skill deficiencies in that team. And he took all this together and he made something of it.
You know, there was an amazing, to me, one of the most beautiful moments of the lot was when Sia was holding the cup. And he called Rassie to come over to stand with him and hold the cup. And he was smiling, Rassie, and he said no. And he wouldn't go at that stage because it wasn't his moment. It was their moment.
Brilliant.
And I thought that is absolute class and leadership that he was saying to them with a big smile. Not that he wanted to distance himself, obviously, but he could have stood there and took the cup and as the coach who really did a great deal to make this happen.
Sure.
But he said, no, it's your moment.
And Sia also, there was another little moment, I don't know if you saw it, where he asked Faf to go and get the cup. Faf refused and pushed him forward to go and get the cup. So that's just the whole thing. It was such a team effort. At the
end absolutely fantastic.
It's just brilliant. It's a lot to learn from it.
Time is 8:47. We still have got to talk military, although this could be that as well. We also have to look at what's going on our highways and byways. And Nutty, you've been way too quiet this morning. We haven't let you get a word in, have we?
No, you haven't.
Not one word.
No.
All right, so let's do the traffic at least. Time is 8:54. Major David Katz joining us in a studio for Military Monday. So normally we talk things military. We were going to be talking about the fight for Africa, but I'm going to ask you, David, to hold on to that for next week's discussion. Rather, what I wanted to ask you is, in some ways, a rugby team must be training a rugby team must be like training a division in the army.
Well, certainly there's a lot of parallels between playing rugby and being in the army and fighting a war. There are, of course, huge differences, and it's not easy to equate the two together. But if you have a look at being in the army, there are no rules in war, and there's no field to play on. So those immediately are the differences between the two. But certainly when it comes to team building and looking for the opportunities and doing the impossible and motivating your men under hugely difficult circumstances. I'm sure that the rugby trainers draw a lot of inspiration on the military trains itself. In fact, we had a bad example of that, if you remember, with Camp Stalrat.
Oh my gosh, that was embarrassing.
I don't know.
All I remember is them running around naked.
Running around naked and lying in pits and doing it. It was ridiculous.
What was that?
No, it was just
And that. When was that?
It was a few, it was about 10 years ago.
No.
I can't recall.
Was it not under the old apartheid era?
No. It happened after that. So that was a ridiculous instance of where it's taken too far. So there's a lot of parallels that can be learnt. But certainly from the motivational point of view of how to operate under very adverse conditions. Because you can imagine the pressure on this team on having to perform, so much put on them, and having to perform under difficult circumstances. Also, of having played all those games, being injured, being sore, and then having often, to get up and perform
in front of a hostile crowd.
In front of a hostile crowd. And even getting, that's why I think that first game was, when they lost their first game, it is magnificent that they were able to come back from that. You know, they're the first team in the World Cup to ever come back from a pool game loss. Nobody has taken the World Cup since 1987, having lost their game in the pool game. So they've set a new record over there, which is great, which just goes to showing the motivation of this team, that you come back from such an adverse condition of failure and turn that around into success. Just brilliant.
Yeah, incredible that they lost their first game and then went on to win. I didn't think after that we had much of a chance.
I also didn't think so, but you could see the drive of the team, that they put that behind it, and they actually learned that as a lesson, and they just improved every single game after that. They improved and improved. Although the Wales game didn't look like they were, that their game plan was coming together.
Yeah, it just did in the end.
But you know what? It's all about the timing. They played their best game possible at the right time. They peaked at exactly the right time. And they arrived at the game at the right time. Everything, the timing was brilliant. And timing's not an easy thing to do, to get right.
What happened to the British? What happened to their team?
I think they lost the game. I think we beat them at the forward play. We totally outperformed. I think they were totally shocked at how powerful our team was and how powerful our forwards were. And you could see from that first scrum, when they lost that first scrum and we got that first penalty against them, they were in trouble. And then soon after that, they lost another front row player, their star front row player, and we just dominated the scrums from there on out. And they weren't able to they looked psychologically beaten within the first 5 to 10 minutes. I could see there was a problem on their side, especially when you see them getting into a huddle and starting to talk to each other. You could see problems in their team. And they were never able to recoup it. They were never able to gather themselves, never able to come back, which says a lot on the way that Rassie has trained his team as opposed to the way that the English trained, is that we were able to come back against great odds, great adversity, and deliver a performance like that.
Interesting. David, you had said, I've written your prediction down here. David, last week, Monday, predicted that we would win 2010. So, in fact, you did see a quite solid, comfortable victory.
I think it was, I was expressing more of a hope than anything else.
Well, that's always the question.
So I would like to claim that I had some type of
your heart, or is it your head?
Yeah, that was my heart talking. The way the English looked, it didn't look like we were going to have a comfortable victory in the way that we did. The English were looking superb. They beat the best team in the world, and they beat them soundly. Mm-hmm. And here we were, having lost our first pool game against all odds, and we're going into this final, and I tell you, I just voted there with my heart. I didn't even want to think. Sometimes you can't think things, Howard. Let the heart take you where it has to go. And that's
our message.
Score.
Absolutely right. Time is 9:00. This is where we love and leave you, Major David Katz. Thank you as always. Anati, I hope you enjoyed your holiday this morning. You'll be back with us tomorrow.
Yes.
Time is 9:00. Have a great Monday.